Hello and welcome to CJ Evolution, the podcast dedicated to helping criminal justice professionals like you. Now here's your host, fellow CJ Evolutionary, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello everybody, welcome back. Episode 176. 176 episodes of CJ Evolution, made possible by you, the listener. Patrick here, host and creator of the show, whatever you are doing, wherever you are at. Thank you for tuning in. Special thanks to all the first responders out there. Brave men and women serving in the criminal justice field, no matter what you're doing, thank you for what you're doing out there in a very, very difficult environment. You know, folks, we talk so much about entrepreneurship, starting a business, writing a book, going after your dreams. And one of the things you really ought to consider is getting a coach. I am so jazzed to have Mark Mawini on the show. He's the coach for coaches. He's a lifelong entrepreneur who's on a mission to help coaches build successful businesses. He achieves this with his coaching programs, his podcast, Natural Born Coaches, which he's going to talk about, his Facebook group, The Coaching Jungle, and his exclusive print newsletter, Secret Coach Club. SecretCoachClub.com is where you can find it. I give you the one, the only, Mark Mawini. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. Very excited to have Mark Mawini on the show. If you don't know who Mark is, he's going to tell you a little bit about himself. Mark, are you there, sir?
I am here. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, thank you so much. I know you're very busy. You're the coach for coaches, and I want you to talk about that, but thank you for being here, sir. And can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, we were joking around before we started. I'm on the east coast of Canada, so we're buried in snow at the moment as we're recording, and it's beach weather in Colorado for the temperatures you told me. I would be the pasty Canadian out, you know, in the parks or whatever. Everyone says he's crazy. He's not wearing any clothes. What's he doing? Yeah. I mean, in a nutshell, like you said, I'm a coach. Essentially, I'm a business coach, and the people I help are other coaches, and I help them get more clients without paid advertising is my thing. It's all organic because that's how I built my business. Mm-hmm. And I've got a podcast called Natural Born Coaches. I've been doing that since 2014. We've done over 500 episodes. Now I've got a Facebook group for coaches as well called The Coaching Jungle, and there's almost 10,000 coaches in there now. So some really cool community of coaches that have connected with me here the last few years. I'm having a lot of fun.
Now, how did you get into coaching, Mark? I mean, what set you down this path?
It was a really strange path for it, I guess. It's not like I grew up saying as a kid, I want to be a coach. I want to be a treasure hunter or a magician, actually, when I was a kid. But
those
anyways,
are good. Those are good professions.
Like. Yeah. When I got out of university, I jumped into real estate here, and I did real estate for a decade throughout my 20s. And I thought I'd be doing real estate forever because I was just always a real estate guy. That was all I did as an adult for my whole business was real estate. And everything was going very well until 2009. And you guys knowing what happened in the U.S. and around the world, 2008 and afterwards, I don't have to give a spoiler alert, but my business closed in 2009 and everything collapsed. So I had several offices. I had over 100 agents and employees with me. And it was quite a shock because up until then, I never experienced any sort of stumbles. And I thought in my 20s, like, man, this whole business thing's easy. Look out, Bill Gates. You know, by the time I'm 40, I will have a private island and a fleet of jets and all this other stuff. And then 2009 hit, which was a wake-up call. I went through another business stumble in 2012, which convinced me to get out of real estate for good. And that's where I got connected with coaches. I had several coaches and mentors who helped me get back on my feet where I was kind of in the wilderness, so to speak, after state. And then when I was trying to decide, hey, what business do I want to go into next? Because I'm an entrepreneur. I can't do a 9-to-5. I'd go crazy. And I said, it'd be great to start a coaching business. And that's where I started the coaching business early 2014. And here we are today.
Now, how important is it for people to have a coach, Mark? I mean, you're obviously very successful at it. You coach other people, but do you think everybody out there should have a coach?
I'm biased, but yes. it's interesting because a lot of people when they hear coach, they think athletics, right? They think you're preparing to go to the Olympics or something like that. I think anybody can benefit from a coach, even the most successful people in the world. I mean, well, Tiger Woods, before he went through some of his struggles, you know, best golfer in the world, had a coach. And you see different people like some successful politicians have speech coaches, you know, helping them with that and so on. So regardless of how motivated you are and how disciplined you are, you can't do everything yourself. And it helps to have a second pair of eyes that's away from you're a little too close to the action, I guess, when it's just yourself. If you have someone else that's there helping, it could be a huge advantage. So I think everybody can benefit from a coach, unless you don't want to do anything with your life. If you're laying on the couch eating Cheetos and watching Netflix all the time, don't get a coach. It's a waste of money. But yeah, if you want to change that, then get one.
Yeah, that's a good point because, you know, like you said, like with Tiger Woods, you gave the example, even the best of the best, you know, constantly are striving to become better. And they need, like you said, that extra pair of eyes. Sometimes more than one coach, right?
Yeah. Well, Bill Gates has a, there's a video on YouTube and his coach was the big coach in the tech world. I think it was Bill Campbell who coached a lot of those big titans of tech. And Bill Gates, worth how many billions, tens of billions of dollars, says, hey, people should have a coach. So it's very powerful.
Now, you talked a little bit about some of the adversity you faced early on, Mark. And the important thing is you got back up. And you know, went forward, and I'm assuming it's because of the people you had around you. How do you bounce back, or what kind of advice would you give people? How do they bounce back from adversity, you know, and how do they deal with the people who are constantly trying to push them down? Because there's always people there, you know, haters, whatever you want to call them, that are kind of, you know, sometimes pushing you down, wanting you to stay there.
Well, it was an interesting situation for me because I didn't really have haters for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And now I'm sure behind closed doors, I had people said he's a prick and I hate Mark or whatever, but not a lot, right? I wasn't getting much of that. And once the business closed, when the gravy train stopped, you see really quickly who your real friends are and exactly. Who was just who was there for the wrong reasons. You know, once they can't get anything from you, they bolt. And that was one good thing, I guess, with going through that is it flushed out some of those people. But I read a book, and I didn't read this one. I was going through my my troubles. I read it years later. I wish I had back in 2009. But I recommend anyone going through this to read it. It's called Thick Face, Black Heart. And it was written by Chin-Ning Chu back in the early 90s. And that book should be required reading for entrepreneurs or for anyone because it shows you how to develop a thick skin to deal with haters. Mm-hmm. But for me, the way I got around it was I basically used the haters to motivate me. So anytime that I felt like giving up or just quitting, I would think of my haters getting delight from that. And then that would get me right out of bed at 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. working on my stuff. So I know some people say, you know, love your haters, hug your haters, hurt people, and, you know, mm-hmm. kiss them and dance around singing Kumbaya. That's not me. I don't let them. I'm not sitting there throwing darts at a picture of them or whatever with that. But I actually use that to motivate me. And that was very – so I should thank them because they actually helped me. They helped motivate me to where I'm at today.
Now, how do you develop that mindset? I mean, did you always have that mindset, Mark, or was it developed through some of the things you've been through? And if how do you get that mindset? Because a lot of people are not like that. You know that.
Yeah.
A lot of people will let people get to them, and they'll keep them down.
Yeah. Well, it's tough because for years I was always wanting to be liked by everybody, and I'd say I was a people pleaser. Mm-hmm. And I took pride in that even through the years in real estate and stuff. And what happened with the business closure, I'm suddenly getting attacked by the local media. They're running front page stories. I know it sounds silly. East Coast of Canada. It wouldn't even make page C25 in Boulder, Colorado, right? Or in California. But here it's like, oh my God, a real estate business closed, front page news. But it was a really jarring experience at the time when you have to call your mother and say, hey, mom, don't pick up the paper today. You know,
Hint,
just stay away from the paper. It's not a good feeling. And I think for me, I got to a point where there had been enough time of me getting kicked around and being shit on that I kind of said, you know what, I'm done. Like, hey, yeah, I had a business, it closed, people were hurt, and I'm sorry, but I can't be feeling guilty about this rest of my life. Everyone's got to just move on. And I have to move on because I've got to live my life. I've got a son who's 9 years old now. He was a year and a half, 2 years old when all this was going on. So I just don't have that luxury to continue feeling bad about stuff. And the truth is there's people were going to say what they're going to say, and some people are going to hate me whether I'm lying in a ditch drinking sewer water or making millions of dollars either way. So I would much rather be making money. If they're going to hate me either way, I might as well be making money doing something I love, right?
I agree. Now, what's your morning routine? When I always talk to people who are very successful like yourself, I always learn that a lot of them have morning routines, whether it's meditation or exercise, they get up early. What's your routine, Mark?
Well, it's definitely not meditation. I've tried that before. I'm just not a meditation guy. It hurt my back after a while. I was like, man, I can't do this. And then my monkey brain's, bouncing all over the place. For me, I'm a really big reader, so I'm reading a ton of books. I do a lot of audio books as well with my Audible app. But I start every day by reading, and I like to read something that's gets my juice is going, so not fiction. I'll save some fiction for nighttime before bed, but it's usually self-help business type things. So right now I'm reading every morning a couple chapters of Tim Ferriss's latest book, Tribe of Mentors, because each chapter is only about 2 pages. And then I'm reading Jordan Peterson has a book, 12 Rules for Life or something like that. I've been reading that as well. And that's why I start my day every single morning regardless. And then I'm off to the gym, but I make sure I do that first that I'm reading and stuff. Then it's a gym on the days when I'm going. Yeah. And I don't book my first calls I have for coaching are at 11 a.m. my time. Except for one day, I have a coaching call one morning, but earlier than that. But I don't like to start 8 or 9 a.m. with the calls because then you're just kind of running ragged. You don't have time to have that me time. I like having that me time, and then I know that I have it, and my calls don't start till a little bit later. I can get my stuff done and be feeling good for the day.
Awesome. And you mentioned Tim Ferriss. I have that book, too. I also have his Tools of Titans book, which is another big, huge book.
Actually, I prefer Tribe of Mentors, to tell you the truth. For some reason, it's just resonates with me a little bit better, the newer one. Yeah. But I like reading a couple of chapters a morning.
That's awesome. Now, we talked a little bit off the air before we went live about, police officers out there. A lot of you out there listening, I know that you want to start a business or maybe you want to write a book. And Mark, my question to you is, I think there's a misnomer out there, and I'm preaching to the choir with you, that you have to have a ton of money to start a business. How can a person start a business on a shoestring budget?
Yeah, well, when I started my coaching business, I didn't have that luxury coming off business closures and stuff. The dental floss budget, not a shoestring budget. So it can be done, but you have to make up for the lack of a war chest with effort. And that's what I said I'm going to do. And I was lucky because when I started in real estate, I was 21 years old back in 2000. And I didn't have any money then before I made it in real estate. And I was young. I looked like I was 15. I didn't have any friends that were house buying or selling age. And I just made up for it with effort. And I did the exact same thing with coaching. So you're going to have to make up for it. But you don't need – a lot of people think you need tens of thousands of dollars for Facebook ads and for different SEO stuff and Google and so on. You don't, but you do have to make up for it with effort. But look at what we're doing now. I mean, I go on as a guest 50 to 100 shows a year, absolutely free to do that. It takes that time to do it, but I'm getting exposed to people. Shouldn't say I'm exposing myself to police officers. That doesn't sound good. But I'm getting exposure to a lot of people I wouldn't have been getting.
Exactly.
And it's absolutely free, the ROI, but not many people or not as many people are doing it as they should be, right? And it just blows my mind. And I say this to coaches I'm helping. How many shows did you get on? When I start working with them, how many shows in the last year? And they're like, well, 4. And I'm like, oh, come on, like 4 in a year? You got to be doing 50. Yeah. Get out to 100. That's how Gary Vaynerchuk really got going. He just got everywhere. And look what happened to him.
Well, and it's so easy, especially when we're talking about podcasting, Mark, and I'm preaching to the choir again. You don't need a lot to start a podcast.
No.
And I did it with virtually nothing. I mean, yeah, I had a little bit of money, but it wasn't a ton of money like we were talking about, like, people think they need.
Yeah. So for the first 300 episodes of my podcast, it was a daily show. Mm-hmm. And then I was editing the show myself, which I don't recommend doing, but I hate editing personally. I have a brother who started an editing business a couple years ago and he took it over. I very gladly said, here you go, knock yourself out. But, but you do have to do some of that stuff in the early days. You have to be the chief cook and bottle washer. And what I'm finding nowadays, a lot of people jumping into the online space, they read Tim Ferriss's 4-hour work week and they think, well, I'm going to get help to do everything so I can lay on the beach drinking girly drinks and refreshing my bank account. I'm thinking a 4-hour work week. Yeah. Once you get going and stuff like that and build a team, then yeah, that's a good, if that floats your boat, go for it. But I don't know about you. I'm nowhere near a 4-hour work
week.
Nor would I want to be. I'd go crazy working just 4 hours a week.
Yeah, and people don't realize. I mean, it takes a lot to get there. I mean, it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, Bill Gates didn't wake up one day and say, hey, I'm a billionaire. I mean, it took years.
I just hired my first VA team. I've used VAs in the past, but for specific projects. I just hired my first dedicated VA team who are handling things, and they just started for me last week. And, but that's, I'm also in my fifth year now. I didn't out of the gate. I didn't have VA teams and podcast editors and stuff like that. You got to take time to build it up. And I think unfortunately a lot of people succumb to that, false notion that they can make seven figures in a month working a couple hours a week. And it just, it doesn't happen. You got to put that effort in. I always warn new, especially online entrepreneurs that, hey, look, this isn't easy. And I think that that's, where it's challenging, it's so easy to start a business, right? Online nowadays, you pay $15 with GoDaddy, you got your domain, and you're in business. In the old days, you had to rent office space, get office equipment, hire staff, pay for all this expensive advertising. So that kept a lot of entrepreneurs out of it. And I think overall, it's good nowadays. Don't get me wrong. I like that the barrier to entry has been lowered. But unfortunately, a lot of people are getting into it and then realizing, oh, shoot, I have to work really hard at this. I didn't think it would be this hard. And that's why they have a tough time making it.
Yeah, true. But yeah, I mean, I really do think we live in the most amazing time with technology. Look what we're doing now. You're in Canada. I'm in Colorado. It's just amazing what we can do today with a laptop, a headphone, and just, just making great things.
Internet access and so on. I look at the overhead that I had in the real estate days and it makes me want to cringe. to pay for all that office space that agents were on the road. They weren't even using it. I'd have, I don't know, a third or a quarter of our agents even in the office, yet you're paying for this huge office and your admin staff and everything else. So the VA team I hired is in the Philippines. Their English is great. Very reasonable. They're going working around the clock with my Facebook group and stuff, but it's peanuts compared to what I was paying in the real estate days to keep the lights on. And that's incredible. I think that's amazing.
I want to talk a little bit about email marketing. This is something, Mark, that I need to take more advantage of. How important is email marketing?
Oh, it's super. I've been doing daily emails to my list now for about 2 years, and that completely revolutionized my results were zilch before from email a couple years back before I started doing daily. And I almost canceled my AWeber. I was like, this is stupid. I'm getting all my business from elsewhere. Why do I have an email list? And I decided to start doing daily emails. And it's just been incredible. I'm going to be doing it till the day I die, but you hear a lot of people that say, oh, email's dead. Mm-hmm. No, email's not dead. You just have to do it the right way. The problem is most people only email their list when they have something to sell. And Ben Settle, who's a big email, daily email guy as well, he says it's equivalent to a guy calling a girl just for a booty call every couple of weeks, when he's feeling kind of horny, he gives her a call. That's what most people are like with their list when they just want to sell something. Right. I go for a booty call every day with my list because I have a call to action every day. But there is actual value in there. I'm sharing a lesson or I'm giving them something that's helping them, but then I'm transitioning to the offer. And they don't mind that there because they know that, hey, I'm getting something from Mark here and he's in business, but it's not a spammy arm twist type. I'll give a lesson or whatever, tell a story, and then I'll transition. By the way, I talk about this in greater detail in my you know, Facebook groups program. Here's the link. Hop on over. Yeah. Something like that, you know, and it's been working really well.
Now, do you use something like MailChimp, Mark, or what?
I use AWeber, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, AWeber is not fancy, but it's done a good job for me here with all the emails that I've sent. I'm not a huge fan of MailChimp, just the way that the layout is and the dashboard. I hope your show is not sponsored by MailChimp.
Oh, no.
Lose a sponsor. And then, of course, there's Infusionsoft, which people say, oh, no, you got to use Infusionsoft, which has the nickname Confusionsoft for a reason. So don't get it. Well, I hope Infusionsoft's not sponsoring your show either.
No.
AWeber is 20-some bucks a month, but it's very easy
to check
use
it out.
Great, yeah.
I'll have to check it out. Now, how did you – you're huge with podcasting, Mark. We talked about it. You got like 500-something shows. How did you get started in podcasting?
I've actually been listening to podcasts since probably 2006 or 7, so fairly early. I would listen to I'm a baseball fan, which surprises people. I like hockey, but I prefer baseball. So everyone's like, oh, my God, you're in Canada. You like baseball. So I would listen to baseball podcasts while I was out mowing the lawn or out going for a walk or whatever. So I was familiar with podcasts for years, but in 2014, I was in the business for probably 10 months, 9 months. I thought, you know, I really want to – have something else to get my message out there. I need something to give it a push. And I was trying to decide, I thought, am I going to get really heavy on blogging? Is it going to be YouTube videos? Is it going to be writing ebooks? And I just thought, you know what, I'm going to do podcasting. And I just jumped in and did it. So I tend to not overthink things. I'm not a perfectionist. I just say, I'm just going to jump in and do it. And I took a program to learn some things about it. And then I launched a show, and I had launched with a daily show, which I wouldn't recommend for people because that's a lot of work with it. But I just jumped in there, and I was kind of did what a typical entrepreneur does, where they jump off the cliff and they hope to build the plane before they hit the ground. Luckily, the plane flew before I crashed, so it's worked out.
And now you've been on Entrepreneur on Fire with John Lee Dubas, who does daily shows.
He does.
I don't know how he does that.
Yeah, he's got like 5 clones in the closet. No. Actually, John's who I learned podcasting from. I took his podcasting program. Mm-hmm. So I had John and his girlfriend Kate were on my show and stuff, and I went on his. But he's done, I don't know, 1.4 million episodes by now.
Insane.
He's done a couple thousand. I did the daily for 300 days, and here's a lesson that I learned from it. A lot of people think, oh, I have to do daily because John Lee Dumas does it daily. And what I was finding by the time I had 300 out there, I thought, you know what? I'm not getting 7 times the benefit from doing 7 a week compared to 1 a week. I've got enough under my belt. Is it going to make a difference if I have 340, 500, 600? I don't know. Once you get to that number, it doesn't make as much of a difference. And I was getting really busy with coaching clients. I said, I got to scale it back.
Yeah.
And I scaled it back to where we're at now, a weekly frequency. But that's opened me up to do other things. And then I'm a sucker for punishment. I launched a solo podcast last November, the Mark Mawinney Show. So Natural Born Coaches releases every Monday morning, and then the Mark Mawinney Show comes out every Wednesday morning.
That is amazing. Talk a little bit about your Facebook group, Mark.
Yeah, the Coaching Jungle. So I started a Facebook group late 2015. And I'd had a group previously, but the group was only for past guests of my podcast. So it was a little restricted. We had a few, 300 and some in there, but I thought I really want to open it up. So I started the Coaching Jungle late 2015, and a little over 2 years here, we're up to almost 10,000 people. And that's without any paid advertising too. So it's just really caught on fire. And Facebook groups are awesome. I recommend people do them. If their customers or target clients are on Facebook, of course, Facebook group is an awesome way to build a community, people who know, like, and trust you. Mm-hmm. And that's one of my main revenue generators right there.
And I just signed up for your book, The Real ABCs of a Successful Coaching Business, which I'm going to read. I'm so excited that I got that. So, Mark, if people want to reach out to you, how can they reach you?
Best spot is naturalborncoaches.com. The direct link to the Facebook group is thecoachingjungle.com. We'll forward over there. And I'm in the Coaching Jungle every day, popping in, swinging in and out. So we'd love to have you.
Well, I appreciate it, Mark. I know you're very, very busy, but I appreciate you coming on the show, taking a little bit of your busy schedule to be on the CJ Evolution podcast. Is there any parting words of wisdom out there that you have for listeners?
Oh, boys. Well, I'll tell you one thing that I always like this. There's a book I read by Robin Sharma, and he's got an acronym in that book. And if anyone's ever heard me on podcasts before, they're probably thinking, shut up, Mark, because you've mentioned this before. But I'm assuming if people haven't heard me on it, that acronym is KMF, keep moving forward, which I think should be tattooed on every entrepreneur's body somewhere. But keep moving forward. So when you get hit with those inevitable challenges, which you are going to get hit with, it's unavoidable. It's going to happen. Just always remember KMF, keep moving forward.
Thank you. What great advice, Mark. Thank you so much, sir, for being on the show, and take care.
Yeah, thanks, Patrick.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to CJ Evolution. Be sure to head over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast, and reach out to Patrick on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Anchor, or Snapchat. We'll see you next time on CJ Evolution.